self-care isn't selfish. And I'm like, if you want to, you know, you got to be the best you first if you want to be the best anything for everyone in your life. So it's like being selfish is actually the most generous thing you could do for everybody in your life is just to, you know, take that time to realize that, you know, whatever you do out in life, you have to prioritize yourself and your needs. And each day you wake up, you make that time to improve and, you know, face your fears just to make you stronger for the collective.
Welcome back to the podcast. My name is Jared, and there's something going on with my throat, but I'm sure we'll get through it. And then, of course, joining me today is Miss Christine. How are you, Christine?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
I'm behaving. How is your coffee?
It's great. It's really good. Colombian, fresh ground coffee that you make yourself at home. Nothing
that you make at 3:30 p.m. in the afternoon.
I just worked all night. Give me a break.
Yes, that's true.
Okay. I put in my 12 hours.
you did it. All right. And then, of course, our guest today, which we're excited about, is Catherine Tran. She's a health and wellness coach. She has an extensive background in life experiences that range from being a successful pastry chef, an exotic dancer, a street pharmacist, I'm using air quotes, which ultimately led her to some extensive court time and even a jail experience. So a lot of these things that Catherine's been through has helped her to have a better understanding of the importance of self-love, humanity, compassion, connection. She has a new podcast launching soon titled Master the Servant. Catherine, we appreciate you taking time to chat with us and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Jared. It's awesome to be here. Appreciate it. And thanks, Christine.
No problem. I'm glad to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
So, Catherine, you grew up in Compton. Can you tell me about that? How was that?
I grew up back in the riots. It was pretty crazy, you know. It's all we knew. A lot of violence, a lot of gangs. It's, you know, girl, NWA.
Oh, boy.
No, girlfriend. But you know what? It was, you know, it taught me survival, taught me street skills. And, you know, I look back, wouldn't change a thing when I reflect back on my life. But yeah, it wasn't easy, but, you know, you always had to kind of, you know, watch your back. It made you tough and then also taught you a lot of lessons.
I bet.
Christine grew up with Two Life Crew and Luke.
I did not. I grew up in West Philly.
West Philly.
Fair enough. Okay. So, Catherine, you're very open on social media, and you recently shared about your relationship with your dad. Unfortunately, there was some abuse there in the past, and then I know he recently passed away. What was your relationship like with your dad? And obviously, you made some efforts to reconcile in later years, and just what can you tell us about that?
You know, my dad, he did the best he could, but a little backstory, you know, my dad was an orphan and he got kicked around. And, you know, when he had kids, he was just an angry guy, physically abusive, emotionally neglected us and all that. And, you know, I was just a girl, just trying to always looking for that love and that acceptance that, you know, a girl wants from her dad. And, you know, he had good things about him, so it's not all bad, but, you know, it was that typical narcissism, you know, narcissistic behavior where you kind of, you know, use someone's love against them, and it was what it was, but it was just my lesson in life with him. What happened, it was, you know, I left home, when I left at 17, you know, a couple years later, you know, everybody left home. My mom left once my little sister, you know, turned 18. And I remember he kind of asked me, he's like, hey, I got laid off and I need some help. And so I was like, okay, Dad, I'm going to come home. I'm going to help you out. And, you know, in the 3 years I helped him, we created the relationship that I wanted. I got the I loved you. And then when, you know, I stopped helping him out, he stopped talking to me. You know, and that was kind of the day that I said no more and I kind of walked away from it and I kept my distance. I did the forgiveness and all that, but he ended up having a stroke. And then kind of his last like 5-10 years of life, you know, I just, even for me, I kind of said, okay, I hate to say it, karma's a bitch, but I made my peace. But, you know, even till the day he passed away, he passed away about a week ago and, people were like, are you sad? And I had so many mixed emotions. I all this, you know, all the trauma came back for me. It was really tough. And I realized that I had to do some, you know, forgiveness for myself. Yeah. And really that's what I got out of it.
Yeah, that's very unfortunate. I can't imagine going through that during this time right now. Jared tells me you went to UCLA. What did you major in then?
Well, I was a biology major, and the goal was to be a forensic scientist. But, you know, I grew up really strict, and it's funny, once I got some freedom, I was making money as a dancer, and actually that fueled my passion for cooking. And then I did that on the side. I did it in the day. I just ended up being entrepreneur, designing wedding cakes, had a food truck, and it was a fun, it was an interesting little life. It was like a total duality, you know. I had a day job, and I had a crazy night job. So two lives, totally two lives.
So while you were doing your pastry chef, making the cakes, and then showing the cakes.
I was showing the cakes. I was making the cakes. It was a fun time. And
it was some hustle.
Yeah, girl, I was hustling. And I did. I worked 80 hours a week, and I became, and it doesn't matter, right? However, I make money, I became very, I had a lot of success for sure. And, you know, I had all the money, had the nice houses, had the cars, had all that stuff.
Okay, so we know that season lasted for a while, and I'm sure that was fun in the moment. But then you went through a phase in your 20s where you did that. You were also, you've said publicly, you were a drug dealer. And some of those situations actually led to you going through a lot of legal problems for like 3 years. It cost you, I believe, over $300,000. Mm-hmm. And then you actually spent some time in jail, and you basically lost everything. You got to tell us that story.
Okay. So, you know what? It's you get to the point, you're a kid, and you're like in your 20s, like, I hit the success. I had the money. And when I got there, the crazy part was, I just wasn't happy. I wasn't fulfilled. I had the guy, I had everything, and I look back and I was chasing, for that happiness and the fulfillment and that hole inside of me and that love through everything outside of me. And I thought that, if I create this life that looks so great outside, that everything's going to be great. But the problem was, I just, I just needed to rip open that Band-Aid and face those problems and heal myself and fill that emptiness and purpose that, we all need within ourselves. And I think ultimately that people really need to look for within themselves, that often we just get stuck in that rat race. And then we forget that, happiness and all that are just things that I can't, they're not tangible. And that's what it was. It's like, I got there and 4 years later, I was numbing myself down every day with pills, started selling the pills just to get, to just go through life day by day. And nobody knew I was like hooked on pills, but it was just, it was an empty life. It was a really empty life, glamorous on the outside, but my soul is just empty.
Now you also went through a period where you were ill. You had a series of misdiagnoses. You were taking antidepressants. You had some suicidal thoughts, and then one situation you almost died and you were institutionalized. Mm-hmm. What was that like? Was that a wake-up call? How'd you handle that?
Yeah. It was, I didn't know. So I wasn't trying to kill myself or anything. When you're growing up with a lot of violence, sure, I was a depressed kid and all that. And there were times I wanted to just end it. But that time I OD'd, and I woke up in a hospital room. I remember my boyfriend at the time found me. And I didn't know, but when I died, I remember there was an amber light and a voice, and it said, it's not your time. And I just woke up in the hospital, like, what the fuck happened?
Wow.
And then, they put you in they hold you for a week. And I just remember honestly sitting there alone and just kind of looking up in a bed, stuck in this institution. Like, I looked up at the sky, like, I give up. I don't know. I'm done. And then, I packed everything. I packed all my stuff. I got the money I could, the little money I had. And I said, I'm just going to get in my car and I'm going to drive out to Florida and I'm going to go find myself. And so that's how I started at 30, just headed out to Florida. Been out here for 9 years.
Yeah. So that's a nice segue, because I was going to ask you about that. You left California, you came to relocate in Florida, and and pursue some things that you're passionate about, that you're passionate about now. And so when you got to Florida, what was that like kind of transitioning from such a crazy life in California to now what? You know what I mean? what was that like?
It's crazy. It wasn't easy. You know, I lucked out. I ended up becoming, you know, in the process, I was working as a pharmaceutical sales rep, and totally as a fluke, because it's like, you know, I just had helped, you know, God works in funny ways. Mm-hmm. You know, I had helped some guy's girlfriend save her life like 10 years prior, just that came along. But it's funny, I found myself as a legal drug dealer. The irony of it. And you know what? It was really soul sucking. And I remember I was, you know, making pretty good money and stuff. And for me, I got into wellness, health and wellness. And I, you know, just, you know, I learned that honestly with people, you know, you just got to, you know, heal yourself from the inside out. And it's just even just starting as simple as that, you know, and just really with the health and wellness, it's not what you eat and, you know, going to gym. It's actually just taking, you know, making yourself a priority, taking care of yourself, you know, being vulnerable and being compassionate. And that's kind of what, you know, I'm all about, is just like not to be ashamed of where we came from, because, you know, for me, it's like, it's just all a story, you know, it's just a story that I told myself of what I was. And I had to let go of that story. And now a lot of us are just stuck in these situations where we hold on to fear and shame and resentment and guilt. And really the problem is, it's like, you know, that we need to have empathy and compassion and, you know that at the end of the day, when it comes down to it, like, seriously, you know, I tell people, who gives a fuck what people think about it? As long as at the end of the day that, you know, you look in the mirror and it's between you and God or whoever you believe in, that you're just good with yourself.
Catherine, quick follow-up. There's such a temptation to be stable. And so for you to say, okay, I'm going to walk away from this position that's comfortable, that has the salary that, you know, that allows me, you know, the certain lifestyle, that must have been, was that at all like a difficult decision, or did you just know in your spirit, no, this is not for me? And then how did you kind of?
It was totally hard to walk away from money. And was it easy and has it been a struggle? No, but it's like, for me, it's you got to wake up every day and just ask yourself, am I doing something in my life that gives me value and some purpose, you know? And that, you know, it's like, hey, we all like money and stuff, but it's waking up each day and finding your own happiness, you know, and just balancing your life out and just, you know, doing things in your life that have value to others, whether it's a podcast or YouTube. And I always tell people, it's like, you know, just because you don't know exactly where you're going doesn't mean you're not going the right direction, but you've got to put some energy into something, you know? It's like, as far as people, it's like, you can do whatever you want to do, but you got to let go of the doubt and the fear of what people think. And that just really starts to, you know, that starts with letting go of the old story that you hold on to about yourself.
Yeah. So you had to part ways with toxic relationships and situations in your personal life. You allowed yourself the quote unquote gift of saying goodbye. What is the gift of saying goodbye, and why is that important to you?
The gift of saying goodbye is, it's the gift of saying that goodbye to that old self of yours, you know, the gift of, I forgive myself, you know, for being angry. I forgive myself for having all the shame, the guilt, the resentment, you know, and that's when self-compassion, empathy is so important. It's like that it's so easy. Yeah. We forgive other people, right, to heal ourselves, but we need to, you know, forgive ourselves, you know, of just all the resentment that we have, you know, that we're not going to that at the end of the day that, you know, I'm not going to hide from a past and that's who I am. I'm not going to be ashamed of it. You know, it just makes you who you are, and it's a part of the journey, it's a part of your story, and that really these scars and these wounds are now, you know, your strengths, and they got you where you are today.
Anyone that follows you on social media, they're going to know that personal accountability and freedom are important topics for you. So I'm curious, what do freedom and personal accountability look like to you?
Freedom and personal accountability for me is that, you know, that I can wake up each day I can look in the mirror and you know what, that you're just good for, you know, you're good with yourself, that, you know, look, we all go out in the world. We all wear a lot of masks in the world, that, you know, you could rip off that mask at the end of the day and you could go to bed at night, you know, sleep comfortably and just honestly look in the mirror and go, you know what, I love myself. And, you know, I know that sounds so kind of cheesy, but a lot of people, even my clients, we do this little experiment called the mirror experiment. And it's most people, they just can't even do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think nobody wants to look at themselves, because if they truly look at themselves, they're going to see a lot of things that they probably don't want to address or they're not ready to.
Yeah. Right. So what's freedom and personal accountability? You know, the ability to really just look at yourself in the mirror and just be like, you know what? It's okay. You know, I'm a human being. I fuck up. You know, no one's perfect. And that really the most important opinion is the one that not what others think. It's who I think about myself. Am I good with myself?
What role does personal accountability play into, you're big on winning the day. What does that mean?
For me, it's like, it's winning the day. It is, especially now with this COVID thing, it's like, you know, our lives get, you know, put on hold, right? So it's like, this is going to be a really great opportunity for people to, hey, this is the great, you know, it's a blessing in disguise that I'm going to take this time to, you know, work on things that I've been neglecting upon myself, you know, habits, changes, you know, things that I need to do. And it's like, even for me, it's like, man, you know, I was into health and wellness, but for 3 weeks, it turned into cookies.
Rightfully so.
I'm sure it did.
I was like, when gym closed, I kind of went into like a state of like, uh-oh. And then I, you know, that it's so important right now that people really just catch themselves or really conscious of what they're doing, because it's like, you know, your whole life is just a habit, you know, with adults. So, you know, it's just winning the day, meaning that I'm not going to fall back into these little things. So if I'm going to have little victories each day, then that's really all that matters. It's like change, long-term change is doing one small thing habitually each day. So one small win. So it's like each day you wake up, you have a list of my hard yeses and my hard nos. And really, that's all you got to worry about. Just winning the day, you know, each day.
Take those small wins. Now, the COVID-19 situation is having a lot of impact all over. Isolation and this time is giving a lot of people time to reflect. So they're navigating this better than others. Some, like you said, with the cookies. What advice do you offer in addition to, you know, trying to win the day and making the list and trying to stay on task with those battling loneliness? And do you have any suggestions to help our listeners during this time of quarantine?
No, absolutely. It's just, you know, it's just like, take this time, you know, to just work on things that, you know, you've been putting off, and kind of even nurturing, you know, nurturing things that, you know, take the work aside. What do you like to do? You know, it's almost like going back to a kid. It's like, you know, ask yourself, am I going to use this time to become better or bitter? You know, and then how am I going to take this time to control the situation or let this situation control me? And it's like every day, what are my personal goals that I have to hold myself accountable for each day, you know, in order to win that day, you know, and just really going back to the basics. And you know, you take away the social, you know, you take away the things around me. It's like, you know, I got to ask myself, you know, what are the things in my life that makes me happy? Because at the end of the day, your life is just, moments and experiences. And how am I going to better myself, you know, as a person, make myself more valuable to maximize my human experiences in life? Because really, that's what life's all about.
So you got a podcast launching soon, which I'm excited about. I've been very gently nudging you in that direction for a while now.
I know. No way. Not you.
I'm guilty. I've tried to get Christine on this show for 5 years, and now she's so anyway, you got a show. It's coming soon. It's called Master the Servant. And I'm curious. First part of the question is, what does that name mean? Master the Servant.
Master the Servant. It's about the mind. And, you know, honestly, a lot of people, you know, most humans are stuck in a lot of trapped emotions and subconscious patterns, right? That, you know, we go through traumas and we just don't realize that these things manifest in our adult life as self-limited behavior and doubt, whether in food, what, you know, relationships, the way we spend money, you know, and really, it's like your mind can be your greatest asset, or your mind could, you know, be your greatest liability, you know. But it's like you got to master the servant. So it's just a constant fight each day, just to you know, really just get rid of those self-limiting beliefs and just really face your fears and your problems. It's not easy, but it can be done.
And are you excited about this upcoming podcast?
I am excited. And it's going to be done with a friend of mine who's a psychologist. So it's a fun little thing with science and spirituality and all that. So I'm super excited. So this kind of explains, you know, the people, you know, we are complicated human beings. We got three minds in there, friends. There's three parts of the brain, not just one. That's why I think it's a little crazy. So you know what? So it's like but the more we educate ourselves and learn about ourselves, you know, we become the master of our lives and not servant to the old bullshit.
That's awesome. Yeah. So what's the best place for our listeners to connect with you online?
I'm on Instagram and actually Facebook. So they could connect with me there. And
what's your handle on Instagram?
It's flowcat1.
Mm-hmm. FLOWKAT and then the number one, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll put that in the show notes. And then we always like to close out the show with final thoughts. So, Kat, you've shared some really nuggets here of wisdom. Is there anything else that you could share with us for final thoughts?
Yeah, you know what? It's, you know, that, you know, self-care isn't selfish. And I'm like, if you want to, you know, I always say that, you know, you got to be the best you first if you want to be the best anything for everyone in your life, right? So it's like, you know, being selfish is actually the most generous thing you could do for everybody in your life, is just to, you know, take that time, you know, to realize that, you know, whatever you do out in life, it's like you have to prioritize yourself and your needs. And each day you wake up, you make that time, you know, to improve and you know, face your fears, just to make you, you know, stronger for the collective. So, you know, change, you want to change things around you, you got to change the stuff inside you first.
Mm. Well, Christine and I selfishly appreciate you being on the show.
Indeed. This has been great.
And yeah, I mean, it's amazing to hear all of your stories. I mean, we didn't even really go into all this in-depth detail, but I mean, you've lived several lifetimes in one. And so it's awesome to see how you've been able to transition that in a way that's not going to likely help, yes, a lot of people.
So I hope so. Thank you guys so much. I'm honored to be here. I really appreciate your time. It's really awesome.
No problem. Can't wait to see how your podcast goes when it comes out.
For sure, girl.
All right. Thanks, Catherine.
Thank you so much.